All right, so welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. For today, we have back here on the show, I mean, what can I say, you know, the incredible, the amazing, the badass, the superstar, the incredible, the one and only, the super awesome, Laisha. Laisha, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Dan?
You're fantastic. I mean, what better way to have an incredible, badass, super day, I mean, evening, than to be chatting with someone as badass as you know what I mean? I mean, what else can I ask right now? Just saying. Anyway, right. If you're new to the channel, don't forget to leave a like, subscribe, follow. Helps a lot. But most important, in the description below, you're going to find all of Daisha's social media. Let's follow her. You know, let's make her viral already. Hashtag Team Daisha, because she's incredible and she's a rock star here. Now, you're also going to find it on the description below, the first interview, so you can find out why she's amazing. And for this one, we're going to be talking about her recent projects. So hope you like it. Get a drink and enjoy this chat. So tell me. Starting out with the first question. What's new? Tell me.
So in the last little bit now in Vancouver, there's this festival called Shits and Giggles. And the premise is that it's to like make a short film, but instead of having like the 48-hour film fests and everything, they want you to do everything within a year, but a budget of $250.
Okay.
And you can do whatever you want as long as you follow the theme that they had this year, which was rebellion. So for the first time, I like made my own project. I wrote it, co-wrote, co-produced, directed one of the days as well, and was also the lead actor. And I thought it was quite powerful because it's about the restaurant industry, because it said rebellion. So I'm like, okay, this is great. And I've worked in a restaurant for about 7 years now altogether. So I made it where it was like you're dealing with customers who are kind of treating you horribly as a server. And you just kind of see the dynamic between just like having the worst of the worst in terms of customers, mm-hmm. and then kind of seeing how your management team kind of reacts to that too. It's not a specific case. It's like a very general thing where like in a restaurant, managers are like, oh, we're family, or they want to kind of, you know, they want to make sure the business is going well. So sometimes things are compromised doing so. So it was funny poking fun at that in the platform of making a short film for this festival. And this idea really just started, like got the ball rolling, where we actually ended up making a longer cut than more than the 5 minutes. And we're sending it out to festivals like in Canada, the States, Europe. So we plan on submitting it to quite a few places. We're just finishing up the final cuts right now, but it's super fun. And I really am excited to talk about it.
There you go. I love it. Now, focusing a little bit more here, tell me, tell me a little bit about your character in the film. Like, what can we expect here?
So for this film, I decided we knew that with being the different server characters, we wanted to have quite different dynamics. So we all tell our own story and it's very specific. So my character, she's more of like a people pleaser, like newer to working here. So excited, like sees nothing wrong. Doesn't see like what falls in the cracks, like in the industry. So it was fun getting to play a role where it's very naive in terms of knowing what's going on around them, which is great in contrast to like, we had some characters, the other one who was like very gothic and hated her job, was just kind of there because she needed money. And then we had some guy who was kind of, we like originally wrote him to be like the mama's boy kind of, and like be really dorky. But his character kind of grew more apathy and disgust through filming, which was really neat to see that actor's take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you see those in the restaurant industry constantly, all three kind of archetypes, I guess.
Yeah, every day. I mean, those who have been working a little bit in restaurants, bars, things like that, there's always this type of characters, you know, and especially the manager who tends to say like, we are family, but then the moment they fire you, you're like, I thought we were family.
Oh, you know, yeah, like I made a joke in it where it was like, we're just talking about how like, oh, you're irreplaceable, like please don't leave. And then as soon as he doesn't get what he wants, it's like, oh, like he like jumps over to the next booth and he has the new hire is ready to go. Like, you're fired and here we go.
Yeah, it's nonsense when they do that. But tell me, what drew you to this particular role?
It was just neat, just kind of getting to play like the people pleaser and everything and just kind of play with a role I haven't really played before. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to playing such different characters. Like, you know, I've played some weird ones in the past, like drug addicts or very aggressive bosses, where it was nice to play something that was so common and kind of how I first went into the industry.
Okay. I'll take it. Now, what about this? How did you prepare for this character, both mentally and physically?
Well, mentally was so hard because when I was shooting this, we put about a month of prep into it prior. So that was insane. And because I was also the producer and writer and locations, and I was organizing a lot of the behind the scenes, I was the main point of contact for the whole cast and crew of like 50 people. So then having to hop in front of the camera when everyone else is asking me questions, that was such a difficult task, just to make sure that I was ready and I was in character. So in terms of prep, I had to make sure I just had time to myself at times and really just focus on what I was trying to show. And then before each take, just really have a moment to myself and then go into it. And I noticed there was times where there were obviously redirects, because that's what happens on these shoots too, I find, just because, you know, you want to make sure you get the best performance out of someone too. So it was nice to have that time and have a good relationship with the director to make sure that our vision was seen like thoroughly.
Yeah, of course. And now that you mentioned that, tell me, like, what were there some, were there any unique challenges or memorable moments during this whole filming process?
Oh, yeah. So there was quite a few things that went on. So with a crew of 50 people, and this being like my first film too, it's like, mm-hmm. I had not really known much about like the safety meetings. Like, we had a meeting and everything, but handling a cat, like a crew that size, as well as being in a really small location,
mm-hmm.
that was an extreme challenge, where there was times where we were told things by like one of our locations that we were using, and no one really clarified that with the rest of the team. So there's times where there was like miscommunication, or just like people were unaware of what was going on, because it's really hard to make sure like 50 people are all on the same page. So that was rough. Or even in terms of shooting in a timely fashion, we came across problems with lighting, where then we were trying to figure out how to keep lighting look consistent in takes. But it's hard when there's so many different like little light fixtures all in the restaurant we were using.
Yeah.
So there's little things like that, or like even shooting on time. I think the first day we got there at 2 p.m. on location, and we didn't leave. I didn't leave at least until 7 a.m. the next morning.
That's crazy.
And then it went from a 1-day shoot to a 3-day shoot. So it's interesting having to think on your feet and just kind of figure out how you're going to, I guess, plan the rest on such short notice, and just making sure that you are able to finish a film rather than having to like stop just because you couldn't get it all done in one go.
Mm-hmm.
And also we had a location change on our second day. So now we ran an issue in terms of making continuity stay the same and make it work for the rest of the film, but also just trying to figure out where to shoot to. So luckily I found a place within like 2 hours of quickly making some phone calls, but that saved our project or film for sure.
There you go. I mean, it's inevitable, right? That for those, for any project, that things are going to get stressed at some point, you know, even though that you're thinking that you have planned everything. What I had ended up discovering by, you know, chatting with filmmakers and actors too, producers, you know, people who are like involved, you know, around the whole industry, that it's inevitable that thing happened. Yes or yes, you know, even though you prepared too much, the solution would be on how you take on things so you can keep on this project and not letting yourself involve into a stressful situation to create something super huge out of something super simple, so you can, you know, move to the next thing. So,
well, or even like in terms of things breaking, you do not anticipate things breaking on set. I think we were a minute before shooting our first scene of the day on the first day, and you know, like those hand mirrors you have at like the hair salon,
yeah,
just mm-hmm. for your haircut. Mm-hmm. I had one of those on me, so just so I can like look at my face a couple times during the shoot to make sure I'm not really greasy. And a minute before shooting, I'm holding it, and it falls out of my hand and shatters all over the floor. So of course I break a mirror right before the shoot, and then there's just like, we were trying not to make a big fuss about it, so no one really knew. So it was just me with like a dustpan trying to clean it up.
Yeah.
But we did not want the bad luck to follow us onto the shoot for sure.
Well, yeah, that's true, right? If the, okay. Uh-huh.
Oh, I've heard that. The things, like, this film went really well. The amount of things behind the scenes that kind of just, you know, went everywhere. It was insane.
Yeah, I bet, but that's amazing. I mean, at the end of the day, it's an incredible learning experience, and also you have fun. And what better way, you know, I do believe that when you have like really fun and you're enjoying and you are like really passionate about something, You know, even if you stay there for 10, 12 hours, 14 hours, or even a whole 24, you just don't feel stressed about it as, you know, different type of thing that you, that even if you are there for an hour, you feel like you've been there for 30 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just kind of just enjoy it too. Like I find throughout the night, even if I get tired, I still like, you feel that sense of community with your team. And if you have a really strong team you're working with,
yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Just keep going and you don't really feel any stress about time. You just kind of just want to make sure whatever we're doing together, we're making something really good that we're going to be proud of.
There you go. I love it. Now, how would you describe the overall theme or message of the film?
So for that, I would say just, I guess, knowing your worth and knowing how to hold boundaries for yourself so you're not trampled over. And also, this was a great way of just kind of seeing what the restaurant industry can be like, because some people aren't aware of how customers could treat the service staff. So to kind of see it in a very blown up way to be like, oh, this is what happens. Or like, for example, we talk about like impatient customers, where let's say you're ordering, like you go to a table and you're serving and you try to get like a sentence out being like, hi, like I'm Deja, I'll be your server. The amount of times people will shush you and say they want water or they want to order or they just cut you off. It happens quite a bit. So it's kind of funny to play with those things and just kind of bring those messages in as well. Maybe to even have more sympathy for the restaurant industry sometimes, because we're all people. We're not robots. We aren't perfect. So people make mistakes. And it was neat just playing with that, or even just being aware of kind of corporate greed in a way too, in terms of how, like, yes, there's different roles in a restaurant, but in terms of management, sometimes business does come first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
There's so many different tangents there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can have a total episode chatting about, you know, about all of that, because yeah, like the first thing is the whole, you know, working in a restaurant. I do think that only when you have work, you know, like customer service, you know, restaurants or the retail industry, you know, things in which your main job is to basically perhaps help or treat another person, let's say. I mean, I have discovered that only if you are in those type of jobs first, you later understand that when you are on the other side, now you're a customer, you're not a worker, you start to understand, like, you treat people different because you know, you've been there, you know, like the whole, you know, like the whole thing, how it's going on. So you tend to feel like more relaxed, or sometimes if you're like a little bit impatient, you're like, I get it. You know, once one day I was there. So I tend to be like those type of people, you know, because at the end of the day, I remember that when I have those jobs, that it was inevitable that at some point you will have, as you said, one of really bad, like a really bad customer. And perhaps it's not their fault somehow, because that's the way they are, fine. But at least, you know, they can be like a little more, like have like a little bit more empathy and be like, you know what, this guy is doing his or her job. So if I'm having like a shitty day, it's not their fault, which I sometimes wonder why people still like that if they have like a shitty job, they will release all of their anger and stress to someone who was, you know, who wasn't even involved into the whole core of the situation, let's say, you know.
Yeah, has to go somewhere. And I think it's good too to kind of like be sympathetic, because I find like when I go to a restaurant, I will be so dorky at times where at the end of my service, I'll take all the plates and cutlery and put it all really nice on the side of the table, or even like stack all the plates nicely and make sure everything's pulled to one side. Or even like I'll be talking to my server and let's say I said something, but I wasn't like even being rude. It was more of like, for example, like if I was out with friends and someone ordered a beer at a big table and maybe I thought she didn't hear, like I told her that I like had to apologize and be like, I'm not telling you what to do. I've been there where I've forgotten things, where I try to really find that connection and I almost apologize for them, or just like try to help them out in any way that I can. But like more people should be like that, where they are aware they're working a job. We're not all like, no one's perfect. So mistakes happen and you just have to be patient.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you have to treat everyone with respect, you know, and admire that someone is actually doing legal stuff, perhaps, meaning that they're having like a job and they're not doing something shady. You know what I mean here? That that we should really respect this type of people because it's not easy. I mean, I remember also like a couple of years ago, I used to work in a clothing store, right? And it was December, so Christmas and all of that. And oh, yeah. So they will put us, each employee, we were like a total of 7 employees. So each and every one of us, we're like in charge of one area, right? My area was the whole Levi's stuff. Levi's, you know, like the jeans and things like that. So they taught me how to totally fold them so they will look perfect, right? So my shift starting in the morning, and check this out, I was like, okay, this is going to be like a good day. So I managed to actually put them on my wall. And I'm never gonna forget this. I put on my wall the whole jeans, but totally separated with sizes and colors. It was looking amazing, beautiful. I was like, this looked really cool. So later on, people started, you know, like to enter the shop, and I got angry because it was incredible that they were just grabbing, you know, grabbing clothes, check them out, didn't they will like throw them away, like really throw them. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with people? And even like at some point, my table was full with jeans. It was looking like a mountain. And I was like really fast to like fold them. And people didn't even care. And that day I was like really angry. And I ended up being like, I ended up like saying loudly, like, people, if you really want to grab clothes like animals, go for it. I'm done. And I just walk away. And the manager was like, dude, you can't do that. And I was like, I know, but you know, this is really stressing. So due to that, now when I go to a clothing store, if I want to charge, you know, see like shirts or like, you know, pants, things like that, I ended up folding them too. Like instantly my brain is like, you need to fold them. So I fold them perfectly and leave them there. So, you know, the guy who is working, he will not waste time on doing things that, you know, it doesn't take you like a second to just like fold them quickly and just be like, you know what, this is it. You're good to go. So.
Well, yeah, and people should be like that more often. Like the amount of times people like chuck things on the ground.
Yeah.
Or like the one thing was really nice recently. I was serving and this woman came in with her younger kids and they were deciding to eat their dinner under the table.
Okay.
So there was like noodles all over the floor. We had like edamame beans everywhere. But when the mom was leaving, she actually cleaned everything up. And was like, I am so sorry. And then I had another family where the same thing happened, where the dad came in at these kids and he actually gave me a huge cash tip because he was like, I'm so sorry, you have to deal with that. And times like that, that's nice, where at least they can acknowledge that they're dealing, like they kind of like put a mess on us and makes it more of a problem that a server has to deal with. At least they're aware of it and they're communicating that rather than just be like putting a blind eye to it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the end, just don't be a dick. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. if you're having like a shitty day, take it on yourself and not take it into innocent people. And if you're going to a restaurant, like clothing store, retail, like all of that, just don't treat employees like shit. You know, they're doing their best they can, and of course sometimes they will make mistakes. But I do think that everything can be solved for you if you just talk things out, you know, instead of trying to insult them or think like that. You're not gonna work anything, and you're just gonna make the other person feel bad for something that you're having personally. And then, so just don't be a dick, treat people nice, and the world will be a better place.
Well, and you never know what people are going through too, so it's better not to be a negative person if you don't have to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, there was this lady, and you know, just to finish this, there was this lady one time, also in the clothing store, that she came to the store super aggressive, right? Super aggressive, she was annoying. So I did my best to, you know, to help her the best way I can. And at some point, I remember that she was just checking clothes, and then she just stood up and started crying, and I was like, oh crap. And I was like, oh, is everything okay? Like, what happened? And then she was like, you have no idea what shit day I have like right now. My husband left me and things like that. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm so sorry that happened to you. You know, if there's anything, any way that I can help you out, you know, or like whatever. And turns out that at the end, by just listening to her, she ended up being like super nice. She gave me also a tip, but she didn't have to. She gave me like personally like a, yeah, I would say like a good tip. And then she was like, thank you. You know, more people should be like you. And I was like, oh, that means a lot to me. Thank you. So, you know, that was the thing that I ended up discovering, that sometimes just people have a bad day, and it's your job to just stay, to understand that is not personal. You know, that they're not holding a grudge against you. It's just the way they are. Perhaps they're having like a bad day. So just stay super professional. And if at some point you can handle it anymore, which is understandable, bring the manager, you know, to something else, and just walk away, because that is also, you know, it's not necessary for you to for you to handle stressful situations without any reason, you know what I mean? So
it's good to like be able to try to do it yourself, but if you need that time away too, there's always management, which is
absolutely
nice.
Absolutely. But anyway, moving on here, and I told you that I mean, this will definitely be another episode here because we totally, you know, move away from the whole topic here, but I love it. Now going back here, were there any, you know, were there like any scenes that were particularly challenging or emotional for you to shoot at some point?
Yeah, I found one scene that was challenging was we had three of us in frame trying to do like a fight sequence or like choreography and trying to shoot that. I had like a mask of someone's face on my face. So all I had were the tiniest little two like pokes through the paper. So we were trying to have me go onto my first marks and go and swing a punch right near a guy's face. And every time, like resetting that, because I can't see, it was very stress, like very stressful and nerve-wracking. And then also, like as I'm moving my arm, my like outfit I was wearing, my t-shirt, it was a bit of a crop top. So I just feel like it rise up. Like it was fine. I'm just like, oh, like my whole like midriff showing and I'm just swinging and I can't see. So it took a long time. I think it took us probably about at least 40 minutes to shoot that sequence just because it was so like fighting heavy. And then other scenes, I found it was difficult on this one park. So we had to shoot outside and it was like 5 a.m. and it was downtown Vancouver in Chinatown. So there were people out. We witnessed a man lighting a fire down the street.
Why not?
So, you know, just Vancouver. But that was a difficult shoot because we weren't anticipating shooting outside at that time. So I didn't really bring a coat. So I was wearing the thinnest jacket in between takes. And then we had to reset the scene as I'm in like a t-shirt too. So that was just freezing. And now I know to always bring a really warm coat just in case. But
you never know.
Definitely a learning experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you never know. You know, probably next time you should bring, you know, a coat if you feel cold, a jacket if it starts raining, you know. I mean,
and slippers
too, you know, a robe, why not? You know, you never know. And a good book. That's what a lot of actors have told me, to always bring a good book. You never know.
Yeah, I find that would be good to bring a book. I think that's like more on big sets though, because this one, everyone would talk to me in between takes, where if we weren't rolling, people were cracking jokes, which that was nice to have that environment. Like going into it, we knew, like me and the other producer, we knew we really wanted to make sure the set had a very inviting vibe where you weren't just really quiet and serious the whole time. Yeah. We were making jokes. Sometimes that meant that things would run a lot longer shooting wise. But then by the second-ish, third day, we perfected that where it was like if people were talking too much and being disruptive, I would just put the hammer down and just tell them just stop what they're doing and let's just focus, which is fine. You just have to be more direct.
Yeah,
and it's good to learn early.
There you go. There you go. Now, what do you hope audience, yeah, like the whole, you know, the audiences here will take away from this movie?
I think with this one, they'll kind of take away just be more courteous and such. And just also, I think this is a neat film for the rebellion kind of theme for at least this festival, because you're learning how people kind of, I guess, take. I like went on a whole tangent there. I'm trying to think. I guess taking responsibility for their own actions as well would be a good thing to take away from this.
Okay.
There's so many things where I'm trying to like really narrow it into like one stream of consciousness.
Yeah. But how does this film fit into the current landscape of cinema, in your opinion?
Well, I've noticed recently there's all these films about the kitchen side of things.
Yeah.
But you're not really hearing anything about the service side.
That's true.
And I find even if there was, it's more of like Ryan Reynolds waiting, which that was a long time ago. So to have this kind of take on it now with such a different lens in terms of how much time has changed in that gap, it's is relevant in terms of kind of bringing light to it, especially because there isn't a film like that at the moment that's out. Like The Menu, that was even more kitchen than anything.
Yeah, and you know, it's true. I mean, there is basically a story for everything. You know, I do think that sometimes instead of creating remakes, you know, just saying, or things like that, you could focus on something, you know, on a total different story. I mean, there is a world out there, and there's people out there, and everyone has a different story. And I bet that if you get the chance, like, to hear a little bit, you know, from a story from a total, you know, total random person, you might get the idea for something great to create here. I mean, you never know, you know. And I think that is like the whole beauty of the whole, you know, film industry, that the chance that they create, that they get to portray stories that we never knew, and once we see them, we get the chance to discover them and somehow to relate them, you know, on the process of watching them.
That makes sense. Like, just like having like people like be in a spot where they can be storytellers and tell stories that people who have may not actually be able to tell themselves or not know how to go about telling their stories.
Yeah.
Because I think even with, I was going to say the restaurant idea too, like, I think it could be a feature of anything too, because there's so much to play with. There's so many different like stereotypes or archetypes of different customers that come in. And even when writing this, we had to really limit how many we had, because we wanted it to become a really big film. We knew it was going to be a short.
Yeah.
But it's cool getting to play with things like that, because if we also use archetypes that are quite common, then people in the industry who do film and also are in the restaurant industry too, they can really relate, because it's something that is recognizable to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's beautiful when you manage to do, like, to create that type of stuff for the audiences and those who have lived the similar experiences. You know, I think that's amazing when you could be like, oh, I totally relate to that. You know, that happened to me too, or something like that.
And touch things that people typically don't want to kind of talk about too. So a lot of people probably are too scared to talk about the restaurant industry because they don't want to lose their jobs. So even for myself, the way I go about talking about it is in a way where it is a generalized sense and it's not targeting any company or brand. Totally. It's just things that everyone deals with.
Yeah, just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone who has been working in the restaurant industry is the way it is. You know, it's not about companies or, you know, things like that. It just, everyone operates kind of the same thing. So, you know.
And with the strike, everyone in film is aware of kind of how it is too, working in the restaurant industry, because many people had to actually hop back into it because the strike has made things so slow.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell me, were there like any improvisations or unplanned moments that made it into the final cut without giving too much, you know?
Yeah, there were a couple times where we had our actors kind of improvise what they were saying, or we held the camera a bit longer to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And there's a sequence where I have some like creepy guy hitting on my character, because in the industry, there is older men who come in to talk to young females. And I think we had him saying a line about like wanting coffee. And then when he went to go, I would be like, oh, you want, yeah? And he's like, yes. And he just kept like going back and forth bantering to saying how much he wanted it, but just by just saying yes in different tones, where we thought that was really funny. And even when shooting another sequence with him, we had him just improvising something on a table. And then it actually ended up making the final cut, and it kind of became funny too, because it made something that my character then had to deal with on the fly in a way too. Once you shoot it a couple times, it's not as like improvise, you kind of know it's now planned, but still, we brought a lot to the table with our actors, telling them these are the lines we want you to improvise. And a lot of those moments ended up coming through to the final takes.
There you go. All right. And now that this film is complete, are there like other projects or roles that you are eager to explore anytime in the future?
Yeah, so now that this project's done, I know I really want to write my own horror film soon.
Okay.
And I just want to make sure I find something that's kind of different and not so common.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to play with that. I've always wanted to see myself on camera, like doing the big like horror scream. I think that would be awesome to get to do and actually have footage of that too. And just play with maybe just being like a final girl kind of character. That would be really fun. And I want to do some more. I know in terms of shorts, I want to write some like rom-com shorts because those get into a lot of festivals. Mm-hmm. And then that way too, being in Vancouver where Hallmarks are very much everywhere in terms of shooting, it'd be good to kind of have footage or play with that to then know how to shoot Hallmarks. And then that way you can be brought in for them because they'll see you have footage that shows you are able to pull it off too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Hallmark season is coming, right? It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming.
All the Christmas movies.
Oh my God! Yeah, the other I watched this meme a couple of hours ago, and it was hilarious because it was basically describing all like the general, concept of Hallmark movies. You know, there is the tomboy, there is the city girl, they fall in love. You know, like things like that. So that was so hilarious because I was like, yeah, that is true, actually. You know.
Well, and with Hallmarks too, the fact they're all so common. So I'm in university right now, and in one of my theater courses, we talk about this term called ghosting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where, like, let's say you think about an old play, and let's say, or not an old play, let's see, let's say there was like the Little Mermaid, and you know in your mind that you think of what the Little Mermaid looks like, and you're like, oh, they have red hair, they're a mermaid, green tail, like purple top. And then ghosting tells you that the general public, if they see an image a certain way, if they were to recall it or recognize it, they picture it the same way they've seen it before. So in terms of ghosting in this case, in with the Hallmarks, it was like, you showed us like 30, the teacher showed us like 30 pictures of different Hallmark movies. And the fact all the couples are posed the exact same way on the cover, have either green or red tops on. And we saw all the images of the movie posters and they all look the exact same. Showing that like people who watch those films know exactly what to expect, and that's by memory of what they know and what they like, so they purposely pick those films to watch. So it's a whole thing, a huge tangent, but it's just cool seeing how with like even Hallmarks too, there's such a fit structure that they don't really go away from that.
Yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, it's true. Hallmark season is coming. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my last question here is, if we could make a film out of the episode we just did right now, what would be the title of it?
A film.
Mm-hmm. Out of this episode we just did.
I'm trying to think. I want something kind of restaurant-y as well. I'm trying to think. I was kind of thinking, wouldn't it be like, I'm gonna say Under the Table. That's only because in the film I was under the table, like secretly chatting about what was happening in the film. So, not restaurant talks. I want maybe.
I have a title.
What's your title? I was gonna say the interrelation of restaurants and film, but what were you gonna say?
My title is Deep Stories Under the Table.
Yes.
You know.
That works.
Deep Stories Under the Table. What do you think? You think that's a winner?
Yeah, that's a winner.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. All right. I mean, at the end, what can I say, Daisha? I mean, you're killing it here. It's incredible. You're creating stuff, which is amazing. You know, you have... yeah, I love it. And you know what? This is what I love about speaking, you know, with actors here. The fact that you guys continue rocking, continue going, you know, even though that right now times are a little bit difficult, you know, through a whole strike and everything. But the fact that you managed to create like your own thing, you know, and not let yourself stop for something that you love, for something that is like, you know, that is happening in another country, the fact that you're doing it here, you're killing it here. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I'm still saying the same thing, that it's only a matter of time that next time we're going to be chatting about the multiple thousand projects you've been here, because you know it's inevitable. So I love it. I also want to thank those who watched this whole episode here. If you're listening in on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to go follow Daisha in her social media. As I said in the beginning, on the description below, you're going to find all of her social media. Let's make her viral. I mean, hashtag Team Daisha, because she's incredible. She's a total badass. And again, thank you so much. Keep killing it. Keep creating. I'm looking forward for this film whenever it releases. Keep us posted. And I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you.
All right.